produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Hello, hello, hello. I am saying good high afternoon. Just thinking about all of the good things that we have on this beautiful fall day and knowing that we are just considering all of the things that God has already done for us. I am so excited as I think about all of the things that we are doing. I just have to most certainly thank Caleb Padgett, the Finding My Way Network, which is so internationally spread, all of the sponsors that continue to give us the opportunity to share with you. As you know, that we are still talking about how we are dealing with some of our grief situations, knowing that God is most certainly taking care of all of the things that we need. I'm excited because I am returning from Washington not too long ago to discuss some of the things that care sharers and survivors are dealing with one thing with the cost of care and just dealing with grief situations that they have to deal with daily. As you know, we continue to ask people to be sure and share with their families their feelings on grief and their feelings on what gives them grief relief. So today, as I was looking at how I would title this time, and it surely is just an opportunity to look at plans and positions and most certainly positive energy on dealing with grief. As we think about the opportunity to give to others, to touch, as I say, sometimes we have to touch with our smile, we touch with our hands, and even in this day and time, we touch with media. And so having this opportunity to share and talk about things that I feel like we, as grief community, we have to share those in order to deal with situations. One of the other exciting things is that I've looked at how I could help with just giving some more of these suggestions, including the time that we spend on this network. And one of the things that I'm looking at is an opportunity to share with you on WISE, and that's WISEWY S, Grief Community Channel on YouTube, because I want us to be able to bring in that pain and bring in the more than that, the solutions to some of the situations that we find ourselves in. So let us, first of all, talk about some of the things that we talked about and what things that we're working on to assist others with their problems and just the idea that they are in a grief situation. As I have said so many times, it is much more than just having the time as we set aside. Sometimes we try to give people a time frame on dealing with grief. But over the times that I have been doing this program, I have said it over and over again that we must be able to realize that people have pain, and that sometimes it goes up, sometimes it goes down. And one of the things that I wanted to share was some of the information called Can We Talk About What Matters to Me? This is so important, and when we deal with grief relief, that we talk to others, and we give them the opportunity to talk. One of the things that in my role as a volunteer for the National Patient Advocate Foundation, as we were in Washington, talking to the legislators, reminding them that grief can come in many instances. And one thing that we focused on is the cost of care, medical care, how much grief that brings to the survivors and the care sharers. That's a group that I have really focused on this last year as I am dealing with, continuing to deal with my husband's illness. We just recently had to go back to the doctor to access his shot for his dialysis. And I've said it more than once that having to have him get the strength in order to get up and get to different places, being that he has had a heart attack, he is in stage kidney disease and also a bilateral amputee. But his strength and his resilience is such an inspiration, not only to me, but when I talk to his friends, even to our church, they all comment on the fact that even with all of these illnesses, and we counted his diagnosis recently for one of the doctors, and there's 8 different diagnoses that contribute to his care and contribute to his health. So one of the things that we talked about is when we ask people to give us information that they feel is important in dealing with grief. And so many times they said, it seems like nobody is listening. It seems like nobody is listening. How important it is for us to give them that opportunity. We are a part of an organization that is really going around the country talking to caregivers, talking to those that want to know how to deal with talking to their physicians and talking to their family. So one of the things they talked about, the 5 tips to help you communicate your needs and priorities to your healthcare team. This is most certainly grief relief that I'm going to spend this time because this is information that will go forward from the first time you hear the information on the network until you share it with someone else. So let's look at the 5 tips to help you communicate your needs and priorities to your healthcare team. The first one is tell your doctor and healthcare team about you as a person. So many times we go in and we tell them about all the aches, the pains, the situations related to physical care. But as you know, as I've told you so often in my book, For Skies of Myself, Soul, and Spirit, I make sure that whenever I am talking about any type of illness, that I say we must include our self, soul, and spirit, mind, body, and spirit. And this is biblically appropriate because we see that in the Bible so many times. The Bible says, even in my using my mantra about prospering not only with physical illnesses, but also from a spiritual standpoint. So tell your doctor about healthcare team, about your healthcare, and about you as a person. And one of the things it says is share a few details about things that are most important to you. If you are a parent and if you are a child, so many times I am talking to our founder as we are looking at all of the things that she is going around and doing, all of the networks that are being birthed because of her creativity, just because of her gift. But we know that she has some other situations that she's dealing with. That is a daily situation. So the doc doctors need to know that when we walk into the office with a physical ailment, we bring in so many other aspects of care and consideration to our daily care. And so what we want to do is make sure that the non-medical details are shared with the doctors, along with if you are having problems. This morning I said to the physician, because I have to share with you, I had a fall where I turned my husband's wheelchair over recently. And in trying to protect him, I fell and injured my right hand, my writing hand. And so that has been such a hardship for me to have to be able to try to write with my left hand, and also just being able to do daily living, not only for me, but for my husband. And so when I went to the doctor to get my sutures removed from my hand, and he said, well, how are you feeling? I said, well, I can tell you how I'm feeling physically, but emotionally and spiritually, I have really been down and trying to deal with this. So I was adding that aspect of what he needed to know from me, that it wasn't just only the physical part of it, but there was most certainly some emotion and also some spiritual aspects that I was dealing with. And that's what you want to do. The next one is to write down what is most concerning to you and to share that information with your doctor. So important. You have to write down, and I say this sometimes, I write down and forget where my note is, so I have to write down another place where my note is. But it's so important to write down those things and try to keep them in a tablet or a journal or something. Sometimes we write down things on pieces of paper, and the pieces of paper are lost, and you lose that contact, that connection. So when you think of things and you write them down, then at some point try to put them all into a journal or a notebook so that you will have that available when you go in to talk to the physician, to share with him your concerns, whether it's about your treatment, about things, costs, or whatever your care needs, wherever you need it. And so you want to be able to support some of the things that you're bringing to the doctor, from anecdotal notes saying, well, on this day I tried to do this type of activity, and I had pain that was unusual for me. So you share that. But if you don't write that down, sometimes one day to 10 days after you go to the doctor, that just slips your mind. So can we talk about what matters to me is a project that the National Patient Advocate Foundation is sponsoring to get this information out to caregivers and other ones that are share carers, and also the survivors, the patients. And so when we think about how we are daily making changes, and they always tell you, especially if you make any type of change with your medication, to be sure and remember that to update your list. So that's important. Write down what is most concerning to you and share that information with your doctor. The third one is come prepared for your appointments. Before your appointment, think about what you want to say to explain why you are seeing your doctor. Write down the things that matter most to you, that are concerning to you, and the key questions you may have so you can hand them to your doctor or as part of your appointment. So many times in this day in media, they have tablets available for you to do an update on your activities and on your medications, and that sometimes is done while you're sitting in the doctor's office. So if you've got this already written down somewhere and you bring it and you're able to transfer it to whatever they're using for their documentation. It makes it easier on the physicians, and more than that, it makes it easier, makes it less stressful for you when you're caring for the doctor. I mean, when you're providing the information so that the doctor can care for you. Sometimes it feels like you're caring for the doctor. And I've heard patients say, you know, when I get in the doctor's office, everything leaves me. And that's why it's so important. I had a lady that was saying how depressed she was feeling and how every time she did a certain thing in her home, it just gave her a feeling of depression. Well, when she got to the doctor's office, that was not her priority, and nobody asked her about this situation, and so it slipped her mind. So that's why I keep saying over and over again, you need to tell your doctor and your healthcare team about you as a person. You need to write down what is most concerning to you and share that information with your doctor. You need to come prepared for your appointments. Number four, talk about what you are experiencing and feeling. They say in their flyer, know that your experience living with your condition, as well as any concerns or barriers you may be controlling, are valid and necessary for your healthcare team to know how to provide the best care. And this includes telling your healthcare team whether you are able to take your medications as they have been prescribed, whether you have transportation challenges in getting to the appointments, and whether you may be struggling to keep up with living expenses because of your illness. And that's so important. I've shared with you before that I've had people who said to me, I don't take my medication every day because of the cost. And so I just may take pills every other day, and that makes it last another month, or if that's the way they're getting prescription. And sometimes we think, well, you get medication, people that are in a certain poverty level or financial level, that they are getting their medications at a low price and it should be easy. But I can tell you, when you are having those bills amount up so that you are spending up to $1,000 a month for medications for family, you may be not only taking care of your husband, your wife, or your grandchildren. So many times in this day and age, the grandchildren are living with the grandparents. Well, those grandchildren may not be getting any type of money coming in. So the grandparents are responsible for not only taking care of them, especially if they're small children or school-age children, but also feeding them. So if a child is there and needs to be fed, most of the time the grandparent will spend that money on them and not get their medications. So talk about that to your physician. If a doctor says, I'm going to put you on this pill, I'm going to give you a prescription for 90 pills, and I want you to see how it works. And you stop and say, well, why would you give me 90 pills and we don't know whether or not it will work? Is there a way that you can give me the smallest amount that it would take for you to know that this is something that's effective for me? And those are things you have to just step up and speak that, because you have to realize the healthcare professionals have so many patients and they can't remember each one of them individually. So it's our responsibility to remember and to share with them information such as this. And then on number five, tell your doctor how you prefer to receive information. You discuss communication expectations between you and your doctor, particularly regarding how you prefer to receive medical and other information related to your condition. For example, some people prefer to only have a summary of the key points, And some people want to know everything it is about the visit, about their care. And so just you discuss that. And one of the things as a grief consultant I say to people as they are lamenting about getting information in regard to their family members. Sometimes we have family members that, older members that go to the hospital and their family members may live out of town. Well, I can tell you, you can't just call the doctor's office and say, this is my mother, and perhaps you could give me this information over the phone. So when you are in person or you, if you can possibly go to the physician's office with someone that is a survivor, a patient, then go and make sure you have the fill out the forms that allow you to receive that information. Not only do you share that with your doctor, but talk to your family member. Who do you have this information? Who has this information in case of an emergency? That's so important, and I've seen that. As I said recently, I had a fall, and my husband was with me, and he was in his wheelchair, and I fell under his wheelchair, as a matter of fact. So we went to the emergency room, and I am the primary caregiver. So in order for me to go to the emergency room, that means that my husband would, if I didn't have someone to stay with him, he would have had to sit in the emergency room, waiting room, waiting on me to get my sutures and for them to take care of me. So that's very important. That these things that I talk about on this program is because I want it to just be available for others to hear. Sometimes we just have to remind ourselves of that. So as we look at, and just I'm just amazed at our time, but as we look, as we come to what we are giving this time for our program, I want to say it again. The National Patient Advocate Foundation is looking at how we can help each other and help those that are afraid to talk to their physician or do not know how to talk to their physician. And so I just thought to use this time to give these five tips on communication would most certainly be to the best advantage of me going to this conference. So as I am getting ready to come to an end and go into prayer, and again to thank each one of you as you're listening, as we also thank Kayla and Pageant and the family and all of the sponsors to giving us this opportunity to share information that's important to others, to their welfare. That's what, when we help each other in whatever situation they are, then we are answering the call to comfort. It's a call to comfort when we are giving information that will help each other. So tell your doctor and healthcare team about you as a person. Write down what is most concerning to you and share that information with your doctor. Come prepared for your appointments. Talk about what you are experiencing and feeling. And tell your doctor how you prefer to receive information. I appreciate the NPAF sharing this information, and I appreciate each one of you all for hearing it and taking it and using it as a tool to help each other. Let us spend this last few minutes in prayer. My Heavenly Father, you who sees and knows all, we come to you at the end of this time as we continue to look at ways that we can give grief relief. I'm Wise Wellness, and I appreciate being able to speak to Wise Ways of Wellness and how this information can be shared. I thank you, Lord, for this time. I thank you for each person that will hear or speak these words and share them. I thank you for all of the ways that you are allowing us to get this from nationally and internationally. These are things that we, no matter where we live, no matter what place we are in, our self, soul, and spirit is so important that we share it. And so I call this all of the things that God has given to us today as a way of restoration, a way of wellness. Until the next time, we will see you again. We will hear you again. And we most certainly will speak to you again. Just keep on being blessed. Keep on acting like it. And keep on giving testimonies that help each other.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
I would like to say greetings to everyone out there in radio land. Hey, I am your host, DJ Matt Cummins, on this wonderful, inspirational gospel mix show. Hey, we're going to take it back to the old school today. Get up, get your praise on, listen to the words in the song. And right now, we are live right here on Finding My Way Radio Network. Let's go!
It's time to get up and get your praise on with the Turntable Minister, DJ Matt Cummins.
Get ready to put you up in the Kingdom Gospel Mix with yours truly, DJ Matt Cummins. Turn up the volume and let me take you back into time. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this back in the day Gospel Mix. Gospel Mix.
Yo, it's DJ Mack.
You hit it first.
DJ Mack on the ones and twos.
yours truly, DJ Mac Cummins, giving you that exclusive back-in-the-day gospel mix. To all my listeners in Radio Land that's loving this gospel mix and feel like praising him because he has been so good to you, I want you to hallelujah at me as we count down in the name of Jesus. Y'all ready? Come on. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I just want to praise you
forever. Come on.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. church up in here.
Come on,
cat.
Yeah.
you find, but pray when there's time, and you say okay. Don't you be deceived.
Don't you be deceived.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
This call is being recorded.
You hear me?
All right. Shalom, shalom, greetings from around the world. And I would like to give all thanks, honor, and glory to our Elohim. And I would like to thank God for Sister Visionary and CEO, Sister Caleb Padgett, for this wonderful, wonderful broadcast, ministering to people all around the world, and her wonderful staff, her team that's helping to make this a wonderful message each and every week that's going forth to the listeners, the people of faith, the ones who trust and love in our Elohim. And I just thank you all on today. Thank you all for tuning in to Ministry Moments with Pastor R and C. Denise, Dr. C. Denise Richardson here on Finding Your Way Ministries Network. And I would like to just share with you all today a little bit on spiritual growth, the Great Commission. Spiritual growth, the Great Commission. When we preach the gospel, we must preach the gospel to every creature on the planet. Those who say that they are found, those who are lost, we must preach to those who are, you know, spiritually cast out, you know, and cast down. And we must also cast out devils by speaking in our unknown tongue, our spiritual language that we speak to our Elohim through. That's called spiritual tongues. And we have to speak in that unknown language to our God, our Elohim, so the enemy cannot capture those prayers. Because when we speak in our heavenly language, the enemy cannot understand it. And it gets directly through the second heaven and enters into the third heaven. So we must also be equipped with the whole armor of God. That in that way, when we're attacked by the enemy, or if someone is in our family or our circle are being attacked by the enemy, we can cast out those devils. We can lay hand on the sick and they shall recover. And we shall lay our hands on those people and they shall be loose from whatever it is, from whatever sickness that may be trying to attack them through the spiritual world. We must also understand that spiritual growth will cause us to move forward and to, you know, catapult ourselves or just be launched into that Great Commission. And one of those Great Commissions is for us to go out and teach the nations to observe all that Yeshua has commanded, you know, us to do, because we are his staff, we are his ambassadors to the kingdom, because the kingdom is continually being manifested in the earth today through everyone who's out here on the battlefield, teaching, ministering, preaching, you know, living a life of faith, doing those things so we can represent our Elohim and Yeshua, Jesus Christ, in the earth. And, you know, we must understand that this day and time, you know, no matter how rough or how tough it gets, it's time to bring the body together, to do all the commission, you know, to do the whole commission. You know, I'm going to go to Proverbs chapter 29 here quickly. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. And I'm going to share this scripture with you as we move forward. Chapter 29, verse 18, and it reads this. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Happy is he that keeps the law. So when we understand his law, we understand wisdom. We understand how to operate in the realm of the spirit. And his law is what keep us, you know, rooted and buckled down to what we're trying to do. And without a vision of God's way, there would not be enough to accomplish the commission. You know, that's in Ephesians. You can find it in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 through 5. You know, without his supreme authority and law, it's most definitely going to be impossible for us to fulfill the Great Commission. I know a lot of us have, you know, our own ways of teaching and ministering. But when we get into his word, when we understand the prophecies that's in the word of God, we will understand every tool that has been given to us to help bring the people of faith together, to bring the body, the 12 tribes of Israel together. So we all will be operating under this same umbrella of faith. Because we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So without a vision of God's way, there would not be enough to accomplish the commission. Okay? Money,
amen.
Amen. Goes to every creature. We must go. The anointing to bring the lost to him. We must be overshadowed and overpowered by the anointing. The anointing hands on the sick to cast out demons and to teach nations.
Amen. That, Pastor R, that is so profound. And I want to greet CEO and visionary Caleb Padgett. Thank you so much for allowing us to have this moment, ministry moment,
Amen.
With Pastor right. and Dr. Richardson. We're so thankful for you and your entire staff, Pastor
yes,
R,
yes.
the Great Commission. It's such a blessing. And what I want to add to that, just real briefly, is that the Great Commission cannot be fulfilled solely in the brick and mortar. There are so many great things that occur in the building, in the synagogue, in the church building, in the temple, whatever it is that we're in our homes where we have built an altar to memorialize our relationship, our covenant with the great Yahuwah. However, the Great Commission is best fulfilled in the world. It cannot be confined to solely a building. Yes, we can prosper and thrive and do great things within the building, but in order to maximize our authority, his anointing, we need to do this outside of the four walls. We must allow the world to see, not only to hear what we're saying, but actually to see the fruit, our fruit, because the word tells us that, you know, our fruit will be judged. It is what we do for him. Those are the only things that will last. And to, in order to fulfill the Great Commission in sharing the gospel, the good news of Yeshua, our Messiah, our promised Messiah, we must do this in places that we wouldn't ordinarily feel comfortable. And sometimes we become comfortable in our church buildings, these great Ephesus. We feel comfortable in our homes. We feel comfortable in religious settings. However, Yeshua did not remain in religious settings. He was the living word, and this word thrived within him, and he shared it. He traveled more than any human I know. And in doing that, he shared and he spread, he fulfilled the Great Commission. So I want to admonish as well as encourage our brothers and sisters around the world to not hold hostage your gifting, your ability to speak the truth in love, to share Yeshua's great mandate only in our comfort zones. We have to get out, and we have to, it's more so about what we do, because for those people who won't touch a Bible, for those people who, quote unquote, have experienced church hurt, when it's really not necessarily church hurt, it's, you know, people who have hurt us, but, you know, offenses will come. You know, Yeshua was hurt more than any of us, and, you know, he continued to trust Yah. So I want to encourage us to remember the Great Commission, and as I often say, to present our bodies as living sacrifices. This is what Paul said for us to do, to be an open book, to be up for ridicule and correction, and even from time to time, condemnation. He has not condemned us, but people will bring a spirit of condemnation. But I would encourage you again, I say, to get out and to actually fulfill the Great Commission. I'm so very excited to have some time to meditate and to really recall what this is, and to see where I am missing the mark, because I am still pressing toward that mark. People, believe it or not, who have not been exposed to the true light, to who Yahuwah really is. And what I mean by that is they've only watched hypocrisy, and it's, or they've experienced great and tremendous tumultuous situations and experiences in their lives growing up, as did I. And so sometimes our perspective, our relationship with Yahuwah in its perfect state has been damaged and fragmented. But, you know, there's hope even in that. If we take time to get to know him in an authentic way, allow that organic relationship to blossom, allow him to place us in the fire for refinement so that we can be better equipped and better used by him rather than our flesh or the kingdom of darkness. So I'm excited about what you're speaking on today, Pastor R. I'm excited about actually getting back in and fulfilling the Great Commission, because visionary and CEO Kayla Padgett at such a young age has taken on this this mandate and has done it on a whole different level as a young woman, starting out at 13 and then at 16, taking on such a massive assignment. And she trusted Yahuwah in that, in fulfilling the Great Commission. And she also does this by embracing the entire world, because this is what Yeshua did. He died not for this one specific group of people, but for us all, in the hopes that we would accept it and be reconciled back to our Heavenly Father, our Creator. So, yeah, I'm excited about it.
All right. And here's the outline of the Great Commission. You know, later he had appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. These signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And see, when we're speaking in new tongues, when we're laying the hands on the sick, when we really allow the anointing of our Elohim to rest on us, that power is released. Their power was released in the area of wealth. The power was released in the area of healing. The power was released in the area of deliverance. The power is released in the area of manifestation, because his anointing is what gives us the authority in the earth, and that comes through spiritual growth. And as we continue to pursue the Great Commission, these are the abilities we will have when we truly are operating in the power of his anointing, because we know his word teaches that the power, the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. We need the anointing, because without the anointing, there's no way we can cast out a devil. There's no way we can lay hands on the sick. There's no way we can loose these people from all of the bondage that's keeping them bound: alcoholism, drug addiction, sexual addiction, pornography, all of these things, family. We have to understand spiritual growth comes through spending time in his presence, spending time in his word, spending time continually in prayer. Dr. Rich, something you do and something you confess is something that you do, is something that you believe in, that prayer and fasting is a key element, because we know that Yeshua said some things can only come about through fasting and praying. So fasting and praying is a key element. So it all boils down to this. In order to have spiritual growth, you have to have a spiritual relationship with the Messiah and with your Elohim. Because without spiritual growth, without a spiritual relationship, there will be no unctioning and no prompting and no, reason or power to go out, you know, something that will push you and motivate you to take hold and really want to keep the Great Commission. Because in order to keep it, you got to perform it. In order to perform it, you got to go out and do it. You just can't sit around. Dr. Rich said we have to come out of the four walls of the buildings. We just have to come out of the four walls of our minds and just make this thing happen. Move with endurance, you know, to get this thing done. Because we have so many people in the community, in our world, you know, out in the marketplace, these people are searching for everything but a relationship with the Messiah. And a lot of people have a opening, a dormant place in their hearts and in their lives and their minds, and they feel like they have to replace it with a cigarette or they have to replace it with sex. They have to be, but these people are missing a real relationship with the Yeshua. They're not missing that feeling, that touch, that smell that they're used to. These people are missing a true and honorable relationship with the Messiah. Because when we allow Yeshua to turn our hearts from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh, that's conversion, that's transformation. And he said, unless we humble ourselves as little children, you understand, we must humble ourselves. He said, unless we humble ourselves as little children, there is no way we can enter in or inherit the kingdom of God. So we must understand that relationship, communication, and humbleness is just a conglomerate of things that we need to understand. Because when we're pushing the Great Commission, it's like your own private organization. Because there are so many things you have to do, and there are so many ways you have to convey the message of the Great Commission. Because right now we have so many people being tempted and being led astray by so many elements of the world that satisfies them and gives them justification, you know, within themselves, you know, within their flesh. This is what they're desiring. This is what they're feeling to be pleasured within themselves. But the measure is over. They still have to face the hardships of life, the tragedies of life, you know, suicide, you know, all of the things that they struggle with within their mind, Dr. Rich. Spiritual growth.
Wow.
Is needed.
That is so amazing, Pastor R. I'm listening.
Amen.
Right, and I'm listening to what you're saying. As I stated about coming out of the four walls, you took it a step further and said, we have to come out of the four walls of our minds. How prophetic is that? I mean, sometimes, and what I took away from that, as I pray that our supporters and kingdom brothers and sisters would also glean something from it. What I specifically gleaned was when you say that we have to come out of the four walls of our mind, I think of myself and how if I allowed the four walls of my mind to overtake or take precedent over the Great Commission, I wouldn't be open and receptive to people, other people and their personal experiences with Yah. And to go a step further, what I mean by that is I reference him by his Hebrew name, Yahuwah. And so if I allow the four walls of my mind to overtake the Great Commission, then I wouldn't be so receptive. I would be closed-minded. I would be so dogmatic in my approach as to say, you know, that there was no room for me to accept the way that other people call on him, and we're serving the same God. You know, if we're serving the same God, meaning the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I'm not going to be angry, bitter, or frustrated because my brother or sister doesn't refer to him as Yahuwah. So coming out of the four walls of my mind also challenges me to be open and to be receptive and to know that there is great work to be done. And just as the disciples, the apostles in the Word had their own personalities, they had their own way of doing ministry. You know, you look at Paul, you look at Matthew, you look at Luke and Stephen. I mean, just so many, and they had their Thomas. You know, they fulfilled the Great Commission. However, they had their own personalities, and they had the blessings of Yeshua to go about doing the works that he commissioned them to do. So I want to come out of the four walls of my mind. I don't want to be a closed-minded kingdom individual. Actually, that's an oxymoron, because how can you be kingdom with a closed mind? So yeah, you really have touched on something for me today, Pastor R. And to our brothers and sisters, I wholeheartedly agree with my pastor and husband that sometimes it's difficult for us to accept this kingdom mandate when we're actually dependent more on drugs, alcohol, sex, any of that kind of stuff. It's difficult for us to do that. So I'm just amazed at what you've touched on today. So we're going to close in prayer. We bring you greetings and love, the love of Yahuwah, because the Word tells us that Yah is love. The Bible says God is love, and I'm so thankful to be able to now recognize the true definition of love. And it's not just recently, but it's been since the age of 23 that I recognized what love was, and that was through the definition of love. So thank you so much, Finding My Way family, CEO Visionary Kayla Padgett, and the entire Finding My Way family. Pastor R, you'll close us out in prayer.
Dear Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for Finding My Way Network and President and CEO Kayla Padgett and her ministry team. I pray that you will give them the commended blessings of our Elohim over their lives and every area of their lives. I pray that you will keep them, bless them, and allow every prayer that comes before you, because you sit in your word, come boldly before your throne of grace and make your petitions known. I pray that you will bless this team, bless her family, and bless the people all around the world. Keep us safe. And we're still waiting and praying for the return of your son's second coming, Yeshua HaMashiach, on the 1,000-year millennial reign. Thank you for your time. Thank you. And thank you for your peace on today. In Yeshua's name we pray, amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Good day.
Mm-hmm.